Speaking.
What?
Okay, we'll bring the meeting to order. Okay, Elena, would you like to do roll call?
Yes.
Chair Sesma?
Present.
Vice Chair Kitchell?
Present.
Commissioner Lakin?
Here.
Commissioner Morhol?
Here.
Commissioner Mongio?
Here.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
Present.
And Commissioner Center?
Here.
Full house. All righty, thank you. Okay, and then do we have any, well, welcome to our guests. Thank you for being here.
Hi.
Thank you. And do we have any special presentations?
We do not have any special presentations tonight.
Okay. Moving on to public communications, this is the portion that we've set aside for the members of the public to address the commission on any city arts and culture items that are not scheduled on the agenda. Comments limited to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Arts and Culture Commission and are limited to no more than 3 minutes. And we can only act as a commission on scheduled agenda items. And so it looks like we have, is it Hales?
Yes.
Okay, Hales King is here to speak in regards to Venturi Unified School District New West Symphony and an advocate for youth arts access.
Hi. So my name is Hales King and I'm a child manager, so I'll try to finish within a few minutes.
We got you.
I am the program manager for the Lobby Harmony Project and nonprofit music ed here in Ventura, as well as an employee of Ventura Unified School District, working as a music coach at the end of middle school. I've come to speak to the Arts Council as we're continuing to have conversations as well with the budget and the workshop committee, trying to advocate for arts and access for the students in the district. As you may know, this past year, the parcel tax unfortunately did not pass. And because of that, just as a kind of broad picture, the Danza Middle School program this year was working with $34,000 for supplies, budget, and everything. This coming year, because of the parcel tax failure, they will be working with
$2,000. Whoa.
So in looking forward, I don't know how much individual pieces can be brought together here, but just as an arts advocate and whatever voice that we all have in this, in trying to convince the city council, when we're thinking about budget, when we're thinking about advocating for Venturi Unified School District to keep these programs alive, what can we do to make sure that we're still providing quality music education, quality arts education, to continue to have this culture of arts within our city? I don't know how much individual action that can be done from this board, but if there is a position that you're in where you're able to voice yay for more arts funding for the school districts, yes for school and shared and nonprofit programs like ours. As an example, with that, Parcel Tax as well, the program that I am manager of the Lobby Harmony Project, our grant partnership with the Ventura Unified School District was funded through the Parcel Tax. So currently, our after school program that currently serves 150 students in the Ventura Unified School District does not have a reassurance from the Ventura Unified School District that we'll be continuing to receive the money that we have for the last 14 years. So with that, again, just kind of trying to do much like the Laura, speak for the tree, trying to think for the kids and their continued access for a high quality, well-funded arts education. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I have a few questions?
Of course.
I was going to ask, I've read some of your materials in the past. Could you please say the name of your organization again?
Yes. So I am the manager of the Labby Harmony Project.
Labby Project, yeah.
Funded and sponsored.
Yes. Yes, I just wanted to make sure we all got the name of your initiative.
Labby?
L-A-B-Y. Yes.
That's the
Labby.
Okay. And does anybody else have any questions for Hales while he's here in regards to this?
I can contact him
later
when
great, thank you.
His information. I'm thinking of the ArtLife Foundation, and maybe we can do something. I'm on the board there.
Okay, so. Great. Okay. And does your organization, what is it that they do? What is the projects that you work on, the type of art or?
So Latin Harmony Project, which is like my name, here. We are a K-12 program. We are curriculum based. All of our music teachers have bachelor's and master's degrees in the field, as well as decades of experience in teaching performing. We are focused on targeting youth who don't have as robust or accessible means for music education. For example, like our music programs are targeted initially at schools that didn't have a music program. We're so proud of Sheridan, like, by the way, since we've been there in the number of years, they now have an in-school media arts program. So every student at that school now has access to a media arts class and can go to events.
Cool.
They didn't have that before, and now they do. So we're, you know, thrilled that our influence has continued on to their school, the school that houses us. We also support students from Rogers, Lincoln, all the different elementary schools, and feed into the middle and high schools students who have strong rhythm skills, starting to read. We're mostly focusing on building community with that. Again, we are K-12, so our young students are learning fundamentals. In third grade, we have a continuing musicianship class that is another reference point for students to come in. That was our original starting point before we added our K-2 second program. And then third and fourth grade, we start to provide them instruments. They're given 4 hours a week of very small class size music classes. So they're getting attention. They're getting peer mentorship, again, from teachers who are above and beyond qualified in the fields. And we support them through 12th grade. And participating in our program, they can have up to 10 hours of music because we also offer like dance on Saturday. And they're allowed to do more than one instrument if they like. And they pay nothing to our students' program. So again, like in the nonprofit sector, ideally, every student at every school would have access to this. We're like a stopgap to kind of bridge that access point for people who wouldn't be able to afford to get private lessons, who wouldn't be able to participate in community classes that cost $60 a week. I myself was in the Wilson Police Action Music League as a kid. My mom paid $60 a month for me to participate in free classes twice a week. And that was an access point for me because we couldn't afford free lessons. So I'm, you know, as again, an arts advocate and wanting to continue this program, wanting to give more access to students, want to, you know, voice that need for the arts education in Ventura, especially if we want to be New York City. We need to have access points for these kids to be able to have that as part of the culture.
As a junior at CSAP, I've been coming to the meetings since the first layoff and speaking, and so I just want to thank you for being here. Was your group part of the music festival last weekend?
Yes.
I thought so. That was amazing. I definitely came out. I'm always looking ways to support our local youth, and I just wanted to let you know that I was there and they did great.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Conversation about that.
Okay.
We'll keep attending budget workshops. As you know, there's one next week. So yes, good. Thank you. Okay. Then moving on to consent items, our approval of the minutes. Mm-hmm. From last meeting. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes from our last month's meeting.
Second.
Okay. Chair Sesma?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Lakin?
I believe I can vote because I did not attend.
Commissioner Morehall?
Yes.
Commissioner Mongeau?
I wasn't here.
Commissioner Rodriguez and Commissioner Center.
Yeah, I wasn't here either, but she.
Well, yeah, it was a little one.
Well, you can read them online, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And for the point of clarification, even if you didn't attend, you can vote on the minutes to say, yes, you read through them and they look accurate to your knowledge, or you can choose to abstain either of the two. So either is an option.
Then I vote yes.
Yeah.
On the still abstain. The minutes as read.
Yeah. I can't determine if they're accurate. It wasn't there.
Okay.
I will abstain, yes.
And when Emily sends out our reminder for our next meeting, they're usually linked inside there for easy access for you to find them. Okay. Okay, moving on to formal items. We have the draft Arts and Culture Element General Plan. It is recommended that the Arts and Culture Commission receive a presentation on the draft Arts and Culture Element of the General Plan, and then we'll update and provide input and feedback.
Yes. So we have a presentation for you tonight. We have two individuals here to be able to share with the commission the path that's been taken to get to the draft version of the Arts and Culture Element connected to the general plan update. And then you'll have the opportunity to be able to listen to more about the different elements or the different areas within the element, and then to provide input at the end. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our Assistant Community Development Director, Maruha Clancy.
Hi, everybody. Hello, nice to see you. Thank you for having me here, and thank you so much for your time on this commission. It's a very important commission, and I'm happy to be here and join you at this table. As noted by Emily, I'm the Assistant Director in the Community Development Department. One of my projects is managing the general plan effort that has been underway for 5 years as of last week. So in the effort of trying to land this plane, we are circling back with all of our commissions that have looked at this previously. I understand the makeup of the commission has changed over the past few years, but our consultant has remained the same and can talk to you about the history of when we came here back in, I think, 2022, 2023. And I'm here to give you a kind of a higher level understanding of what is the general plan, what does it really mean for the city? And then I'll pass it over to our consultant, David Putner Sanders, who can talk about the specifics of the art and culture element to get your feedback on it. So next slide, please. So the general plan is a long-term policy document. It typically governs about 20 to 25 years of the vision of what is to occur within a municipality. Cities and counties are required by the state to have a general plan. Typically, it's updated every 10 to 15 years. As noted, this is our fifth year in the element update process. It looks to assess what to preserve and enhance within the community. And it looks at certain goals and topics, including land use, transportation, parks and open space, housing, public safety, and the conservation of natural resources, amongst other topics. Next slide. So this is the flow of work of what we've been underway since 2020. Of course, there was a lot of stakeholder outreach. There's also our general plan advisory committee that has had 31 meetings over time to talk about every nuance within the general plan and the topics it covers. There was a visioning aspect. We looked at alternatives within that context, creating then policies, goals, and actions within every element and in the general plan vision and objectives. And we are right here where that black asterisk is in plan development. We have draft elements underway, and we anticipate releasing the entire draft general plan next month. The accompanying environmental document, also known as Environmental Impact Report, or an EIR, is anticipated to be released in June. And both of those documents will have a real lengthy public comment period of at least a couple months each to allow everybody in the city and community to provide feedback on the document in its entirety. After that, we'll be reviewing and adopting. We have 7 meetings scheduled before City Council over the next 7 months. As well as multiple meetings with our planning commission, a couple more GPAC meetings, and I can have more information about those dates and timelines for you thereafter the presentation. So next slide, please. Thank you. So this is the outline of our general plan. We are required to have 8 elements for the state. We do have a little bit more because we wanted to make sure we heeded all the direction received from the community. Of course, we have an intro and purpose of the general plan, how we got here with our process, the vision and guiding principles, which were voted on by council in October 2023, land use, transportation, environmental justice, parks and open space, public facilities, public safety, noise, arts and culture as of today, and our historic preservation element, which will be reviewed too by our historic preservation committee. Next slide. So the structures of the general plan are these elements, effectively chapters of this larger document. They each have statutory requirements required by the state. They look at existing conditions. They think about considering our key considerations and then have goals, policies, and objectives, or actions rather. So we try to use words within those actions that kind of have like encourage, attract, incentivize, explore, consider, and promote as part of those policies to then eventually be implemented through a larger implementation plan after the general plan, which includes updates to our zoning code, any specific plan outreach, our local coastal program is going to be coming underway, and other ways to effectively bring this general plan, if you will, into more granular detail with specific projects, goals, ambitions, etc. Next slide. And at this point, I'm going to pass it over to David.
Thank you, Maruha. First of all, let me just do a quick sound check. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good, good, great. So I'd like to give you an overview of the draft arts and culture element, and I'd like to also recap the existing conditions report, which we presented to the commission in 2021, since we know all of you are new since that time. My presentation lasts about 18 minutes. It's a little longer than usual because we wanted to give you a more complete picture and kind of catch everybody up on how we got here and where we are. Next slide, please. So let's start with a quick recap of the planning process for this element. We really began the arts planning process in 2020 after adjusting to the initial COVID shutdown. I remember being in City Hall March 12th or 13th of 2020 when we all learned that the city was shutting down and so was the rest of the state, and we all hurried home to begin our quarantine. But we got back on the horse. That summer, we did our due diligence with research. We conducted stakeholder engagement, which was a series of discussion groups and interviews done virtually with arts and other community leaders. Simultaneously, the general plan team did public engagement to understand the overall vision and priorities for the general plan from the community as a whole. In 2021, we prepared the existing conditions report. We'll look at highlights in a minute. And as I said, we presented it to the commission at that time. And as you know, there was about a three-year gap while the planning team worked on land use alternatives, which are often a contentious process now in California, particularly because of housing requirements. But we got back on track and prepared the draft arts and culture element that you have before you now for comment. I think we wrote that last summer. Next slide, please, Elena. So what's the policy context for arts and culture in Ventura? Unlike other general plan elements, there are no state or federal cultural policy mandates to comply with. It's the arts. Arts and culture are an elective for general plans. As Maru has said, they're voluntary chapters that Ventura chose to add. The next slide, please. We also know there's an ongoing conversation in Ventura about the terms arts and cultures. You know, so what do we mean by these words in this document? The arts are the most familiar term to most of us. They refer to all art forms, visual, performing, literary, media, design, etc. This includes both nonprofit and commercial art forms. And to this, we add culturally specific art forms and often extend the term to include things like the culinary arts. Culture is very broad and it includes our entire way of life, if you asked an anthropologist. We use the word for ethnic cultures, popular culture, suburban culture, religion. It also refers to traditions and heritage. So arts and culture includes and extends beyond the arts to encompass some but not all aspects of culture. The important thing is that each community can determine its own definitions. And for example, food culture is now considered almost everywhere in California a part of arts and culture. And conversely, religion would be excluded by many cities because of the separation of church and state. Next slide, please. There are three previous city plans that recognize the role of arts and culture in Ventura and the city's leadership role. They set the table for this current effort and provide some reference points. And now, while they are outdated, they illustrate how the community and the city have taken an expansive view of arts and culture and made bold efforts in cultural development. We'll see these reflected in the portrait of Ventura's creative sector in this presentation. And on a personal note, Emily reminded me that I should mention that while I don't live in Ventura, I've been involved with Ventura's arts community since the 1990s. I was on the team for both your past cultural plans, and I worked with Sonia Tower, Elena Brokaw, Jessica Cusick, among other arts leaders during the 2000s. And then Emily, since 2020, so almost 5 years now, in preparing this GPU element. Next slide, please. So now let's turn our attention to the portrait of Ventura's creative ecosystem. These slides are from the existing conditions report, which we presented to you in 2021. Next slide. All previous arts, city arts and culture plans have emphasized that Ventura has a distinctive cultural identity. It helps define the city. It's a continuing source of pride. This identity is based on a realness and authenticity, and it arises in part from Ventura's origins in agriculture, oil production, manufacturing. Creative leadership in Ventura describes this identity as gritty, unpretentious, low-key, funky, working class, and a diamond in the rough. Now, art making in Ventura can be highly sophisticated, and it often reflects these characteristics in some ways. At times, it is inspired by the beauty of the natural environment. Next slide, please. Creativity is found now not only in the artist studio, but also in the growing community of creatives in fields like design, technology, media, culinary, and artisan brewing. In fact, Ventura's creative community is defined more by its collection of artists and creatives of all disciplines than by its nonprofit cultural institutions. This identity has been the foundation for past arts and cultural planning, and it should remain a reference point for future action. Next slide. The city's had a role in cultural leadership for decades, so let's take a look at the range of its arts and cultural programs. Next slide. The city's arts and cultural functions are currently managed by the Community Partnerships Division of the Parks and Recreation Department. They include a broad range of programs. You're all now quite familiar with this, I'm sure. And they're founded on several historic buildings and places owned and managed by the city for a long time. Next slide. On the left, a nice picture of the Abinger Archaeological Museum located next to the mission. And on the right is the 1857 Ortega Adobe. Next slide. The pier dates to 1872, and on the right is the 1847 Olivas Adobe. Next slide. On the left, the Dudley House, built in 1892, currently managed by the San Buenaventura Heritage Incorporated through a long-term lease from the city. And City Hall itself, where you are this evening, dates to 1912, when it was the county courthouse, and then was transformed into its current structure during 1927 to 32. So history, historic preservation, and heritage are foundational for city government and for the community. Next slide. As notable as your historic sites are your public art collections, now numbering more than 240 works located throughout many areas of the city and in City Hall, the collection offers free, almost 24/7 public access to art. This mostly outdoor collection ranges from sculptures by nationally prominent artists, Judd Fine, Dennis Oppenheim, East Los Streetscapers, to significant commissions by Ventura artists, to simple functional works adding interest to mundane city infrastructure. Next slide. Staff has developed self-guided public art tours and continues to manage the Utility Box art program and collaborate on community creativity projects. On the right, artist Frank Bauer transformed a city trash can into a functional art piece, a collaboration with the Pierpont Bay Community Council. The public art program has undergone a period of diminished resources. In 2012, City Council suspended application of its 2% public art requirement for water and wastewater capital improvement projects. The program also does not have an updated public art master plan, and there are ongoing issues to address, including funding, maintenance, and conservation. Next slide. Other city cultural programs include two annual arts grants opportunities, arts and cultural classes and camps at city community centers, various educational and interpretive programs and tours that bring Ventura's history and culture to life, and annual community events and activities. Next slide. Now, while the city's role in arts and culture dates back decades, it shifted significantly in recent years. In the 1990s and until the 2007 recession, the city's investments in arts and culture were guided by the past two cultural plans, which represented the community's vision and priorities. Arts were managed by the Office of Cultural Affairs, which was downsized during the recession and then reorganized in 2010 into the current structure. The Office of Cultural Affairs was the community's recognized arts leadership body. The city was the leadership body and oversaw a larger collection of programs. Cultural staff used to number about 14. Now they are approximately 3. Next slide. So looking now at Ventura's creative economy, we used the Creative Vitality Index to generate a portrait based on a national benchmark. Data on Ventura's creative industries, occupations, and cultural nonprofit revenues are indexed together and they're compared to national figures. So for 2019, the city of Ventura demonstrated an above average score of 1.46 compared to the national index of 1. So about 50% higher creative economy scores than the average in the nation. Now, this data is 6 years old. It's a simple artifact of the long delays in this planning process. However, it's not likely that the overall picture has changed much since that time. Next slide. But given that, let's look at the kinds of creative businesses and jobs there are in Ventura. There was a total of about 4,400 creative jobs. Of those jobs, about half represent self-employed or gig workers. The 5 largest creative sector occupations were photographers, software developers, writers, authors, musicians, singers, and graphic designers. Ventura's creative industries, your businesses, earned $188 million in that year. The top 5 industries were book publishers, caterers, graphic design services, cultural and historic clubs, and architectural services. So it's noteworthy that artists comprise 3 of the top creative occupations, photographers, writers and authors, musicians and singers, and the 6th largest industry, artists, writers, and performers. Next slide. Let's take a look at Ventura's citywide collection of cultural assets. Next slide. Ventura currently has about 37 or 40 nonprofit arts and cultural organizations. By comparison, there were only about a dozen in 2005. Current organizations span a broad range of disciplines, from the Museum of Ventura County to performing and visual arts, arts education, we heard from Labby tonight, cultural and heritage, crafts, and others. There are only 3 with budgets greater than $1 million, so the great majority are small budget organizations doing much with few resources. The map shows their concentration in and near downtown and a few located on the east side. Next slide. Here's the map of the city's public art collection. It clearly illustrates the wide distribution of these artworks throughout nearly all areas of the city. However, the easternmost neighborhoods have the fewest artworks. Next slide. And this third map is Ventura's many venues where the public can attend arts and cultural events and program. Broad brushstroke, the map shows the concentration of venues in and near downtown, the west side, and midtown. Excuse me, and almost none on the east side. There are 44 in total, 27 art galleries, 7 theaters and performing spaces, 4 historic homes, 3 community and recreation centers, and 2 museums. The colors of the dots, of course, correspond to those categories. But there are additional informal venues for arts not on the map: clubs, studios, classrooms, churches, libraries, parks. Visit Ventura promotes downtown as a live music mecca, and it highlights 5 or 10 music venues like the Majestic Ventura Theater, which is part of the Live Nation booking network, as well as smaller clubs and bars that have live music. Now, there's no large performing arts center or outdoor amphitheater, as you know, in Ventura, so certain concerts and performances must take place in venues outside the city, such as the Oxnard Performing Arts Center or the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. Stakeholders, when we spoke with them in 2020, also discussed the potential for more and informal venues for arts activity. They described the desirability of activating public spaces, including downtown, with pop-ups, temporary art events, street performers, street fairs, and so forth, that make areas more interesting and successful as community gathering places. Next slide. So this collective portrait of Ventura's arts and culture suggests some key ideas for the general plan. Next slide. Key considerations are essentially issues and opportunities. What's important, what's up in arts and culture, what we should focus on in our plan. So you'll see here, building on Ventura's cultural identity, always keeping it as a reference point. Enhancing the public art program. It's an extraordinary public art program and needs some love and strengthening. Growing Ventura's creative economy, which includes promoting cultural tourism. Expanding access to the arts throughout Ventura. And as some of you saw, Emily sent a note from the Autism Society making exactly that point, as was Hale from Labby. Supporting arts and cultural facilities and fostering city and arts community collaborations. Next slide, please. So let's now look at the goals and policies of the draft element. As a reminder, as Maruha talked about, general plan recommendations are different in kind from a strategic plan or even a cultural plan. They're intended as a framework, leaving lots of room for implementation and adapting to change circumstances. You know, general plans are generally 15 to 20 year planning frameworks. The goals represent the what we want to accomplish. The policies are lasting guidelines or principles for decision making. And the last pages of the element, you've probably seen this, have sample action items intended to show more detail on how to work towards the policies. Next slide, please. The element has five overall goals that closely parallel the key considerations we just looked at. So let's look at each goal and some of the sample policies. Goal one is about recognizing and incorporating Ventura's cultural identity in arts and cultural planning and initiatives. So policies would include using arts and culture as a tool in celebrating and preserving history, and expanding educational programming focused on local history and heritage. Goal number two is about public art. Policies include continuing to rebuild the program through sustainable funding, planning, staffing, diversifying the types of art, and maintenance and conservation. Also, continuing to expand accessibility by placing projects throughout the city. Goal three is about the creative economy. Policies include, first of all, recognizing and incorporating there is a creative economy and including it in economic development. Also developing a strategic plan for the creative economy. Providing small business supports, including improved permitting and permissions. You know, the creative economy is almost exclusively small businesses. So adapting small business supports for the needs of the creative sector, of creatives, is a great tool. Goal four is about increasing access to arts and culture. This means activating public spaces throughout the city with things like pop-ups, events, temporary art installations, and other community-focused creative activities. Also, paying attention to providing culturally relevant programming and expanding lifelong opportunities for personal expression and learning in the arts. Goal five is about cultural facilities and spaces. This is often the number one issue we hear in communities throughout the nation. Facilities are a critical need. So policies include understanding the community needs for arts and cultural facilities and supporting and partnering in meeting those needs. This might include facilitation, partnering, or investing. Another policy, given Ventura's extensive holdings of historic properties, continuing to support their preservation. Taking a general city leadership posture that involves partnering with the community. It's a bit of a departure from the past, but recognizes the current circumstances. And lastly, similarly, partnering with neighboring cities and the county in arts and cultural initiatives where it makes sense to do so. Next slide. Almost there, folks. Implementation actions are things that can be completed and checked off on a list, as opposed to the more aspirational nature of the goals and policies that can be ongoing until the next update. The ones here and in the element are a sample, not intended as a complete list, since new opportunities and priorities will certainly arise as the plan is implemented. That said, implementation actions include creating a public art master plan that would address best practices, equity, funding, maintenance, conservation, and explore an art requirement in private real estate development. You'll see next small business supports for the creative economy. We just talked about that. Related to this, reviewing and streamlining permitting and other permissions for creative economy businesses and events. Next, conducting an assessment of how to grow cultural tourism. It's been on the table for a very long time. It's been a supporting player in Ventura. There are probably some better ways to promote cultural tourism. Developing a mini grants program to activate public spaces throughout the city with creative activities. Doing ongoing program assessment to incentivize opportunities for lifelong arts learning and participation. And lastly, conducting a cultural facilities needs assessment and developing a fund to match and incentivize cultural facilities projects. Next slide. So with that, I am very happy to thank you for your attention, and I'm very happy to answer questions and hear your discussion. And on the next slide, you'll see a few discussion prompts that might be useful. Maybe, Elena, we could take it off share now.
Well, thank you for that presentation. Is by any chance, is that presentation available for us to?
It'll be posted in the supplemental packet on the city's site.
Okay. Like soon, tomorrow?
Yeah, it'll get posted next week. Mm. So same
on Tuesday?
For Tuesdays. Oh, yeah.
Don't make a stag.
May I have it before Tuesday?
If you would like a copy of the presentation by tomorrow morning, we can send it out to the commission.
Thank you.
It will also get uploaded for the entire community, along with the video, to the city's website. So the nice thing is anyone can access it, especially folks who weren't able to come today. But yes, we can get you specific.
Because there's definitely some facts and figures that it would be quite great for your talking points.
I have feedback.
Yes.
As the first Chumash Art and Culture Commissioner, I find it very appalling that we do not first begin to acknowledge the Chumash people as our city culture. We've been here for a scientifically proven 19,000 plus years, and to have it started with agriculture is very disheartening. The environmental section should start with the land acknowledgement, recognizing the acceded land that belongs to us Chumash people. I feel like these sections should involve our traditional Chumash elder, Julie Tomine Stinsley, especially these areas that have years work with Julie, collaborating with them, as well as the city opening spaces and opportunities for Julie to teach. And I'm wondering, how is the city going to contribute to the cultures that they're going to try to profit off of? I feel like we need to look for ways to collaborate together with certain cultures, especially culture groups, minority groups.
May I comment?
Yes, please.
Thank you for that excellent comment. And when I reread the plan over the last couple of weeks, getting ready for tonight's presentation and kind of reconnecting with it, it stuck out like a sore thumb to me. We would love to take you up on your suggestion and find a way to acknowledge it. I think part of what happened was there was such a, you know, we were all trying to move forward with planning virtually. We were all learning Zoom and breakout rooms on Zoom. And I think it's kind of impacted our stakeholder engagement process in summer 2020. Not as an excuse, but I'm just reflecting on it now. Thank you for your comment.
Thank you. Any other comments?
No, I will.
Questions? Yes, please.
I did want to let you know that I was around back when you started us, so I see a lot of the feedback that I asked for in here. And I guess my overall comment is the bones of this plan are just really lovely, and I think you've work to maximize what we can do without a lot of money. And that's the thing. I mean, they're not unfunded mandates, they're unfunded suggestions. And so the only funding suggestion I saw in there was to add a development fee for the arts, which I would support. And then if we had something like that, we could get more of this done. I mean, there's a lot of things we could do for consulting that I know we don't have staff to do. But what we can do, I've seen the city doing a lot right now, is, and because I am in charge of the art walk, which is all put on privately these days, is helping us out with the fees for in using the public spaces, because that has been one of the biggest obstacles I've, you know, had. Just, you know, how do we afford to do this, right? And the fees for public and private spaces are enormous. And so the city's been good, really good. I get that that $1,000 grant every year, and I really appreciate that. But just to make sure, maybe have more in that fund, so there's not just, you know, there really isn't a lot of money there. Just a handful of organizations can really utilize it. But anything we can do as far as partnerships, that it really helps organizations like mine get through this. And it's hard too when we don't have a big performing space, as you mentioned. And so we are also using the college some, and so that I don't know that anyone here uses the Civic Auditorium, but I could be wrong. But the college has been nice about letting us do things. Also, Ventura High School lets us do things there occasionally. So just really comes back to what I've been saying for years. We just, ever since the recession, we do not have the money to do so much of this. So looking for opportunities to increase the funding for all these really great ideas would be my priority. Thanks.
Corey?
So I have a comment kind of like in a similar sentiment to what Commissioner Rodriguez was saying. Kind of like it's not necessarily like a glossing over of the LGBTQ plus community, but like as a member of that and as an artist that's a part of that community, it would be nice to see a bit more city support in certain events. The 24th of March through the 30th is Ventura County Trans Pride, and I know that there are some people that work for the city who didn't know that. So it's kind of something that it would be nice to see a bit more of city support from. I thought really sure where else to go with that, but kind of a similar sentiment to Casey.
I'm taking notes.
Corey.
Thank you.
All right. I know how you spell it. That's awesome. I would like to speak in support of the issues raised by Commissioner Moore-Hall and Rodriguez. I'm looking at the description under existing conditions and the creative ecosystem. I'm not so much of a policy wonk, but I do consider myself a linguist, and I believe words matter and help shape and create opportunities for action. So I'm tripping just a little bit over the undefined or the vaguely defined use of the word authenticity, as though that really describes something in particular. And then when you go on to describe elements of selected history and selected culture, I definitely feel Rodriguez's pain at having the longest history not mentioned. So I would just urge specificity where possible and the removal of generalities when possible. Even though I understand it's a guiding document, it does need to be the biggest possible umbrella. And sometimes a list of examples that reflect status quo thinking can be harmful.
Brian?
Yeah, I want to kind of add on to Commissioner Lincoln's comment. I've been here for 5 years now, and I used to come up to Ventura because I like Ventura music and the food and see the culture. I didn't even know about like the other cultures, the history of it. Since I've lived here, I've done as much as I possibly can to follow and understand who draws tourism. Like, I know Visit Ventura does that mainly, correct? I mean, they're one facet. I don't know many others. I mean, they knock it out of the park with X Games. But back to what you were saying, I don't know if there's one area or subgroup or whatever I'm going to call it that works on promotion. And it's funded. I mean, maybe venture is Visit Venture funded
yes.
through us.
Yes.
Okay. Well.
Well, not through us.
No, through this. Okay. Well, I think there could be a greater tourism entity that's more up to date, reaching a far wider network to draw people here. Because, I mean, the beautiful thing about Ventura is kind of a drive past. Right, city, and unless you know about it, you're not going to come, and that's kind of cool because you're like, hey, don't come to Ventura. But as we're talking about economic development, I mean, the only way for us to ask more money to support the arts and culture is to get more money coming in. So if we're not putting it out there to say come in, we're not going to get more money, and the culture and the arts are going to go the way they are. I wish we could find out what the last trends are from 2019, because just as again, being here for the last 5 years, I've seen a decline in a lot of the music and arts. And I'm not going to get on the Main Street moves, but now that we've committed to that, something needs to change in that area so it could be elevated so people want to come. So if there's any kind of way to put more money into promotion or whatever you want to call it, I would make that a priority as well.
Great point. Mm-hmm. Here's a point. Any other input, questions, discussion? Nope. Well, thank you very much for your presentation. We appreciate it.
And you're very welcome. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you. I don't know, Commissioner Rodriguez left, but we wasn't able to interject that, you know, we do fully intend to do a land acknowledgement at the beginning of the general plan. I think it also takes, you know, place here at the beginning of the arts and cultural element too, and the work that Julie Stenzel has done for the community and continues to do. So that is not lost beyond us. So hopefully we can relay that to her. Commissioner Rodriguez. I just wanted to let you know, as comments were unfolding, we do fully intend to have a land acknowledgement in the beginning of the general plan document. We will also heed your feedback to have it echoed in the beginning of the arts and culture element, as well as your commissioners echoed the need for more specificity regarding that acknowledgement and removal of generality to acknowledge the Chumash people.
Thank you.
That we hear you loud and clear. So thank you so much for your feedback.
Thank you.
So I get, is this me, David, or is this you?
It's you.
It's me. Oh, okay. So thank you so much for your feedback. I understand you can have more time with the element to provide us any kind of wordsmithing or ideas. We had some ideas, Emily and I, as well as Stacy, about looking at the implementation actions. You know, Commissioner Lakin, you probably were reading our minds because we also have been looking at potentially bifurcating two implementation actions to make them into one standalone need for public funding via a development impact fee or other as a short-term goal, in addition to separate that from maintenance of facilities and other implementation actions. So I look forward to that feedback and wordsmithing. We can work together with your group.
Yes. The development impact fee?
Yeah.
What is? Can you explain that better?
Development impact mitigation fees are fees that are required for projects to pay after they are approved through planning. They go through building. They pay a certain fee that's based typically on square footage or the number of units they have. If it's a residential project, and they go to everything from the library, arts, parks, police, administration, libraries, schools. So we would be looking to have in the arts and have that, you know, or some other element to garner funding from new projects as they come through, be it a percentage of their funding dedicated to public arts. I know like the city of Albuquerque in New Mexico, they require 10% of every project coming through has to be a public art piece, whether it's on their property of the project or elsewhere in the city, which is why there are a lot of beautiful public art exhibits in Albuquerque in particular. So, you know, we'll noodle on that some more. Again, we can get more specific with that general implementation action as we figure out and work with your group to what's going to be the best benefit and immediate return for the arts community. So please send your feedback to Emily by next Thursday. And then, of course, there is more opportunity to get feedback if you have on a wonderful epiphany in the middle of the night or 11th hour thought. I tend to have the best ideas while I'm lying in my bed not being able to sleep. You can still provide that thereafter. You know, it's not finite. After March 12th, we have a wonderful public comment period that can provide more feedback. So we look forward to getting that. There's also going to be, in concert with the public outreach period, a stakeholder session that Emily and Stacy and Parks and Rec will be leading with focused representatives from interest groups involving the arts and culture to ensure we're really hitting the mark with this element and those goals, actions, and policies and implementations. And then, fingers crossed, we hope to have the full general plan adopted by October. So it's a big push. But it's a good one, and we're just really happy to be here and really appreciate your time again and volunteering on this commission. It means a lot. I really value personally the arts, and I'm really thankful you're all here dedicating your time to it. So thank you. My dad's a stained glass artist, so I grew up a lot with that. That was his main bread and butter. Very minimal bread and butter, but still growing up with the arts in my life has been a big foundational to me as a kid. So keep on keeping on, and we'll help you get there with our document.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you,
David. Appreciate you being here this evening.
Thank you, David.
Thank you so much. Wish I could be there in person.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Any comments for me, or you want to speak with me more directly about the general plan, Emily can put you in touch with me. Fully welcome and love to speak with you more about anything you want.
Thank you. And just to make sure the commission said that if you do have any feedback, you would like it by Thursday, the March 20th. So correct. That's like all okay. Of a sudden going to sneak up on us.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely with me today. Okay, moving on to item number 3, the review and recommendation of a proposed mural, 2788 East Main Street.
Issue.
And this is also an action item. It is recommended that the Arts and Culture Commission review and make a recommendation on the design rendering for the proposed public art mural at 2788 East Main Street.
Yes. So we're excited to bring this to you this evening. We received a public art mural application from the applicant, Nicole Bartlett. The application went through the review process, making sure that it was eligible to be able to come forward to the commission tonight. The location of the proposed mural is at 2788 East Main Street. And as you saw in the staff packet that we provided, and that's also up on the screen, there is an image of the building where the mural would be placed, and it's on the east-facing wall. Next slide, please.
What's a cross street? I couldn't see that.
It's not really. It's not a street. It's a driveway that leads back into Storm Final, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you see there's Cabrillo Drive, and then there's Cabrillo Drive, and then Main Street.
Yeah, because it's in the middle of a block.
Oh, is it like
so? It's over near Yolanda's Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
Over near the Smart and Final.
It's the Ferraro's building. Where did you ever eat there?
The where?
The Ferraro's restaurant. Did you ever eat there? That was it's Five that building.
Sure. Really. Yeah. Ferraro's. It's between 5 points.
Oh, yeah. It's the Italian restaurant that's no longer
there. 5 points and better, right?
Got it. Thank you.
Yes.
So that like little house.
So within the application packet, the applicant worked with artist Lisa Kelly. You'll recognize Lisa Kelly's work has come before the commission before. If you remember the beautiful Starry Night mural that you see as you're heading towards Ventura High School, that is one of Lisa's pieces that the commission made the recommendation to approve the design rendering. Well, Lisa also designed this specific mural. So we do have the applicant and the artist here as well. So there'll be an opportunity for you to ask any questions about the design elements, about the location, the color palette. Next slide. But for this evening, because the mural application packet has gone through the phase one eligibility requirements, it's gone down to the Community Development Department to make sure it ticks all the markers in terms of does it qualify within the sign permit? Does it need to go to the Historic Preservation Committee, which it does not. So it's now at the phase where it comes to the commission. And the commission's role tonight is to identify what recommendation you would like to provide connected to this mural. So the recommendations the commission can provide are to recommend the mural design. So the design as you see it this evening and as you saw it in the staff report. You can also recommend the mural design with conditions. So again, the conditions might be minor modifications. Again, the artist and the applicant can choose to make those modifications or not, or the commission can choose not to recommend the mural design, and then typically you would share the why. Once the commission makes their recommendation, again, one of the three, then the packet goes down to the community development department to be processed for the permit to be able to receive the official go-ahead to paint the mural. Regardless of the commission's recommendation, it still moves on to phase two for the community development department to review not only phase one, to review the commission's recommendation, and then to make the final decision on issuing the permit. So we're excited to have the applicant and the artist here tonight. So we're going to turn it over if there's anything that the applicant or the artist would like to share at this time. And if not, then we'll go ahead and turn it back over to the commission for questions, public comment, and then discussion.
I'll make a comment. So when we were trying to come up with something.
That's
Nicole Bartlett.
Thank you.
And we were trying to come up with something fun to do for a mural that was different, but also did a nod to when Ferraro's was there. Because when that building got obtained, there was quite an uproar within the town of it not being Ferraro's anymore. If you guys have been here long enough, maybe you feel the same way. And so part of us wanted to tie in Ferraro's, which is in this mural, and kind of do a nod to what the building used to be. And we thought the best way to do that is kind of take a snapshot back in time of what used to be present on that street in that section. And of course, we're right in front of the hospital. So we thought, let's go back to, you know, all right, we got an ambulance, let's go into the hospital. That's the direction the hospital would be, literally right in front of that ambulance. We're a surfer town. It's Ventura. So you have, you know, the van with flower power kind of going on and surfboards. And then the dog actually is because something similar to that existed in a photo we found a long time ago on, and I don't remember the name of the business that that's sitting on top of, but Garfield's. So again, we're trying to find what used to be there and how accurate can we make it for what's in this image. That's all the comments.
And I'll just give a little comment myself. So I'm Dave Rich, and I'm Nicole Barnes' partner. And so just to add what she's saying, what we're hoping to do is when you're driving down nature, walking on nature, you see that mural, it's what it looks like about 50 years ago. And as we were walking around City Hall tonight, we noticed so much history in this town. And so much history is lost and forget about things. And so what we're hoping is that people will look at it and go, oh, yeah, I remember, and it's kind of, so there's the mural, there's the street, and you look back and forth, and you can see the changes in front of you. There's Ferraro's restaurant. Oh, yeah, I remember having dinner there many times. There's Garfield's. You know, there's this, and it's all about 50 years ago. It's a snapshot in time is what we're trying to convey. So, and we love what Lisa Kelly did. She's a fabulous artist. We want to support Ventura. We're Ventura, proud Ventura and son. Thank you.
Okay. Any commissioner questions?
You missed your personal injury lawyers, correct?
Yep.
It's thus the crash.
We like to have fun. But when you sit in that building all day long, you will hear so many ambulances go by. And that's just part of, we're in the hospital corridor. The emergency room is right there across the street from us. And so you hear that all day long. And so that's part of what that block is.
And nobody got hurt in this accident.
And I know you had your hand up, so I'll let you go, and then I have a question.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was going to ask specifically what relationship does the applicant have to this image, specifically to history? And then to the scene depicted, because in my eye, the historical message is far submerged under the forefronting, literally, of the crash. So if you want to maybe comment on your perspective of how your business or the use of the building relates to the image and to history.
So I'll give a few comments. What jumps out also is that VW bus. It's like about a 68, 70, so it's perfect historical image. On top of it is lightning bolt surfboard. You know, again, this is a surfer town. People will see that and go, oh yeah, that's a lightning bolt surfboard from the 70s. The van itself has, you know, again, flower power, very vintage, 1970s. So when you look closely at it, again, this is adding a historical perspective of 50 years ago. The ambulance itself is from the 70s. That's what kind of ambulance was driving. Then you see the other parts. There's a, like an AMC Pacer, Mercury Park Lane convertible. There's that Transient Firebird, all vintage cars. So it's fun. And that's what we're trying to interesting about. You see, and you go, oh yeah, I remember that. That's the vision one. I remember that.
If I could have one comment too to that, I actually think something that's helpful, even in my own observation around town, I love some of it got commented on, and sometimes it takes me a while to notice some of the art around town. I'm a pretty observant person. But as you wander our town, I've lived here for a decade now, and I still slowly observe how much art is in our town. For instance, the mosaic trash can that got talked about, I recently noticed that, and I think it's been around for a bit now, and I'm all over in Paragon. And I just, my point is, I appreciate it so much when I notice it, but sometimes we need help noticing something. We need something to draw our attention to it. And I think that's what the crash does in this. It causes you to look at it like, that's unusual. But then your attention is drawn elsewhere to, oh my gosh, look at that. And this is actually, wait a sec, this is where we are. But that's what used to be there. So it's what grabs your attention first to then appreciate the whole piece of art. That's what I think it does.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a comment. Although I appreciate the interest in the tour and the historical part of that corner of the street. My first, I didn't see anything, and I've been in the tour for 35 years, and I needed a Ferrari a lot. The only thing I saw was a crash, and my question to myself and now to you is, what are they wanting to say? What is the purpose? What is the message? I did not care for the message I understood.
I would agree. I think it's kind of...
I'm going to request that if you want to speak, that you raise your hand or yeah, or just look at me, because we keep having other people just jump in. So thank you. Go ahead.
I feel like it's kind of poor taste to have a first responder shown in the image. I'm just not a fan of it. I feel like it's very busy in a section that's already busy. That parking lot's very busy. And I grew up in that area, and it's definitely more of a skateboard history, that section, with Five Points being there for years. So I'm not a fan.
I didn't hear it. More of a what? Sorry.
Skateboard. Five Points was on that street, so like, and I grew very close to that, so that area was more skateboard than surf.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. There's something to me, like, I think the illustration is beautiful. I think the composition is great, but there's something about the imagery of the crash. It's like not quite a negative connotation when I look at it, but it's something I after hearing the explanation about the focus on the VW bus, it's like, well, what if maybe the VW bus was more of the focus of this? And like, if you wanted to have the ambulance, maybe it's still intact going behind it. And I don't know, the crash, I understand the concept of like being very powerful and be like, oh, but I don't know. It just kind of, I don't think it, like, I don't want to say negative connotation, but it like, I would be like, if I was passing by, maybe I would kind of like, I didn't live here. It wasn't from here. I wouldn't see it. I'd be like, what are they trying to say? So I get what Ines is saying about the message. So yeah, I think the bus is cool. Like I'm not from here. I'm a transplant myself, and I've been here for 3 going on 4 years. And the bus, like, to me, that feels like this place. It feels like Surf Town. So that would be cool to maybe have more of a focus on something like that. And the ambulance itself, like, I want to see what it looks like whole, like intact, because it's a cool old car. So it would be neat to see it like intact. So that's my input.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
I think having everyone to get the one point perspective on that street, it's kind of, they're not like the most interesting buildings on the street, although 31 Flavors is on there too. So
that's a fun building.
Street. And down in the 70s and 80s, and like, you remember all these places. I've been in all those places. So the crash in front, the crash in the front, artistically, is going to make you go, what? And look at it.
And you're driving.
What?
You're driving on this party.
So you're not always driving, but yeah, you'll notice the crash and wonder what, and want to look at it more. That's what my opinion is on it.
Right.
It throws you in to look at it and think about those buildings that were like, oh, because the streets are there too, so you notice the difference.
Yes. So the comment that, GS, I'll go to you next, Marie, thank you. I still feel the accident takes over any historical message there.
Yeah.
You know, art is subjective, so everybody's going to have their own, you know, their own opinion. And though it is a great piece, the only thing I see there is I see a horrible accident. I see a commercial for personal injury attorney. That's what I see. But I'm also a marketing person. So I'm giving you the perspective from that's what I see, which I think is very effective. But from artistic point of view, being on the Arts and Culture Commission, I love so much all the pieces that you're bringing together. Like, I really see that story. But all that feels like the backstory. The front story is the accident. And it just feels very, I don't know, it feels a little, I don't want to use the word grating, but it feels very, it's not raising the historic. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, there's something that's just, it's just, something's just taking it low for me. And that's the only thing I can come up with. So go ahead, Marie.
Yeah, I mean, my initial, I just want you guys to understand my initial reaction was, whoa, what is this? But it's just really grown on me, honestly. I'm obviously, I see where the vote's going here. And you are personal injury lawyers. That's why I said. And so you're advertising your business. And this obviously is an image that you like,
I guess.
And I actually think it's kind of cool because I like the way she has the actual mural on the side of the building 50 years ago. And so the more I looked at it, the more I liked it, honestly. And it is unusual. It isn't what we see on the sides of a lot of our buildings, all of this pretty art and flowers and beautiful women. It's very much different, you know, but I like it. And so, and I do think that as business owners, that you do have the right to advertise your business in the way you want. And you know, you're a private enterprise, and it's probably annoying for you guys to go to a public commission and have us pick everything apart. I mean, I get that too. So, but I actually, guys, I like it. So there.
Anyone else before I go into round two?
Yeah.
If this does get passed somewhere, just as a car guy, the ambulance back then, they were built off of hearse. Chassis and build up, so they were using cars as well. They're like 2 tons, and those VW bugs are like aluminum cans. If you were going to make any revisions, and I like the fact that you have Trans Am and the Pacer, and you're trying to bring that car culture into it, the ambulance would completely demolish that VW. Okay, so if you
guys, save it, I appreciate that.
For the car culture elements, It's not feeling like it's not trash.
Well, that's good to know.
Okay. And it's white, it's black and white, clearly. Yeah. And what color is the wall?
It's tan.
Is it light? Tan. Okay. I can't remember seeing it. Okay. So that's going to stand out as a black and white image. And if and Emily, correct me if I'm wrong, but they've already been through the sign review committee.
Yes. So yeah, so before a design comes to the commission for recommendation, they review it to identify, does it, you know, or depending on if there's text, does the text fit within the sign requirement, or do they need to get a special permit to go with that? So it has been reviewed knowing the nature of the business and knowing the design, and it was deemed by community development okay to move forward to the commission.
So I already knew that, so I just want to make sure that everybody knew that.
I have a question.
Okay, Karen is actually next. What? Yes, Karen is actually next.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. That's why I keep asking you to turn around, look this way, so you can.
Thank you. I wanted to say I am familiar with the artist's work and feel really positively about a lot of your public projects. So I don't think that's in question for me. I did reach out to staff upon receiving this rendering and asked what we were even doing looking at it, because it also clearly communicates to me as a promotion for a business, which is great. And maybe that's the best place to return it, but yet we're stuck in here evaluating it and commenting on it as an art piece. Considering the placement of the art piece, I feel very uncomfortable inflicting this on a drive-by public. Mm-hmm. It feels, and when you were looking for the word chair, Sesma, the word that came across to me was aggressive. It feels aggressive. And putting it in the cloak of retro vibe doesn't lessen that for me. It still reads personal injury. And if anything, if I was in that accident, I would be offended by a campy treatment of it. So it doesn't work for me. But again, I wonder if this is truly the right body to be making a judgment on this design.
Right. Yeah. All this is just, I mean, you can leave and do exactly what you want to do. But one point that I would bring up is that where the mural will actually be, if we're looking actually at that building, is that element, the accident element, will be so low to the ground that it will be blocked by cars most of the time. If you're in a perfect world, if your parking lot is full all the time. So yeah, okay, go ahead, Ines. Thank you.
Because of you two, will the mural be specifically identified as an advertisement? Then I don't
think we can do. I don't think we can put it as an advertisement.
Correct. So right. Because it's in public view. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's why it's here.
But we can't do that.
then if it is not identified specifically as an advertisement, then the citizen who does not know you and does not need you and does not know that you're there, then it's only evaluating the mural, is going to have the same reaction, because I didn't know you from Adam. I didn't know you were an attorney or any kind. So then the public at large is going to have, it might have the same reaction I had when I first saw it as a proposed mural that the, I'm sorry, I cracked a rib. A proposed mural that the commission has to evaluate and either say yay or
no.
Okay, fine. If it's not an advertisement and it is a mural, then I go back to my original comment. What the heck is the message? What is Ventura through us, the commission, wanting to support? I don't know, if it's a historical issue, how about the floral VW bus comes towards you with that surfboard on top, and then some stupid other car with four guys in beach trunks is going the other way. And we have all the historical stuff about the 70s and 80s and no craft. And everything, every attention to detail that you guys, all of you, have put into remembering Ventura and honoring Ventura's 70s and 80s and the Raros and all that. And we don't have to see it cut.
Okay, any other comments? Yes.
Just one other comment, too, just about Lisa's work. And that is one other thing that wasn't pointed out. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but I think it's called a Drylands effect. But if you look closely on the building itself, what you have is a mural inside a mural.
Cool.
Inside a mural,
which is cool,
so, which is really kind of cool too.
It would be nice to see that more predominant, something like that.
Yeah, and so
Greg,
and
cool.
One other comment, my final comment, I think it's just it's hard, and since, and I'm hearing this and we respect it. Some people love it, some people hate it, and I think that's a lot of art. You know,
sorry.
When I drive around Los Angeles, there's some crazy art down there. It's almost, which really does kind of jump out and it shocks you, and it sort of offends some people, but that's art. So.
And I will say when mural design renderings go down to the community development department and they look at them from the historic perspective, if it needs to go through the historic review committee, they look at it from the advertising. It was deemed by the community development department to be within the realm of a public art mural. So not an advertisement, not a sign, and they have specific requirements to go through. Again, I understand the connection between, you know, what businesses is in the building and then the connection with the different elements within the mural, but connected to the determination made downstairs is that it is considered a public art mural. So then the commission has the opportunity, if you'll go back to the, or go to the next, no, go forward.
Yeah. For actions, yeah.
Yes. So then when it comes to the action for tonight, the commission's making a recommendation. And so that recommendation is taken into consideration when it goes down to the next phase, the community development phase, on whether or not they approve. It's called a sign permit, but it's because currently public art murals are considered signs within the municipal code.
Yeah.
So the commission can choose to recommend the mural design. So as is, you can recommend the mural design with conditions or suggestions. So you recommend making a modification or not. Again, the applicant gets to make the decision on whether they, you know, choose to modify the design before they submit it to the second phase to community development, or as a commission, you can choose not to recommend the mural, and then it helps community development to understand why.
Emily, Chair Sesma just stepped out, so I'm going to fill that time by asking you a question. If text or other identifying information about the hosting business inside that building were added, what would that do to the signage process? Would that get it off our table and put it back to the other?
If there is, so yes and no. So public art murals fall underneath signs.
Okay.
So typically what would happen is if a mural had a large textual addition to it and the text was connected to the business, then it would be reviewed downstairs to say, is it a sign within a sign that meets the requirements for specific permitting within a mural? And therefore, it would be a two-step process. So then they might have to, if it's larger text, have to get an additional permit to be able to move forward with it. They do look at it connected to, like, there are some businesses, say, like if it's a pizza business and there's a giant pizza on the sign, then that becomes a sign because it alludes to what's going on within the business.
Giant crash.
Again, it was reviewed by the community development department, so the group that kind of weighs in on that. So the commission could say in the recommendation, you're choosing not to recommend it as a public art mural because you feel it falls more within an advertisement for the business. And that would go down to community development. So
I apologize. I had to walk out of the room, so I'm not too sure what I missed.
I asked if the advertisement element was more literal, would that remove this issue from our agenda and put it back to signs? And it was a maybe, maybe not answer. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find a way to move forward that assists the property owner and the artist. So if we do not recommend it as a mural design, the applicant still can go forward.
It still falls within the municipal code's definition of a public art mural. The commission
public code, but not ours at this moment, if we made that choice.
Right. However, the municipal code is what is used to make the determination on a permit that approves a public art mural to be installed. If the commission chooses not to recommend the design rendering, it doesn't stop the public art mural from being installed. It's that it goes down to the community development department. It receives that the application has gone through the first phase, which is the community partnerships, parks and recreation phase that also involves a little bit of community development. It involves a recommendation from the commission, and then all that information is taken within community development for a decision to be made about issuing the permit. Just because the commission doesn't recommend the design doesn't mean that community development won't look at it and still say it falls within the code. Okay. We're going to issue the permit for the mural to be installed.
Okay, go ahead, Marie.
All right. So as you recall, Emily, we had talked to at least a year ago about going through our kind of odd sign versus mural thing. And I'm not sure where that went, but I just think this is a good opportunity to bring that back up again. I'm thinking back to the mural. We had the Pura Avenida mural over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was some direction to that artists along that whole thing, that they couldn't put specific businesses in there.
Yeah, that was
very much the Bella, which is an iconic thing downtown or on the west side, because it was a business, right?
Johnny's, the hardware, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we're working on it.
I mean, this says to me their business, and it did the minute I asked you that. And this is a perfect example of what the confusion we are creating for people, and they've got to come to a meeting and sit here. Maybe they wouldn't have had to do. So I'd like to take this opportunity to bring that back again so we can have a better discussion about what is a mural, what is a sign, and make it really clear to people that want to beautify their business or do whatever they want to do, which I commend, by the way, for doing a public art, anything on the side of business and paying an artist. I commend you for that. And Lisa, your work is amazing. I've seen it all over the place. And this is the first time I think I've ever met you, and it's nice to meet you. So I just like to put that on our work list, please.
No, and I have point taken. We've had conversations with community development about the need to relook at the municipal code connected to signs and the difference between signs and public art murals. Right now, the general plan update is one of their biggest priorities, but the intention is once it gets adopted by city council, that's one of the items that we would be looking at. Yes,
thank you.
It is still on the work plan.
Okay, good.
To get some
discussion. I want one last comment.
Yes.
As an advertisement, it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
It is tender because of the history. It is funny because of the style. It is magical with a cartoonish thing. So Emily, if there is a way of combining what has been done already, which will be interesting for that corner, and do something with the signage, some way of incorporating the reality that this is an advertisement for a business, and it's an unusually clever design and people are going to love it and talk about it, fine. But let's not make this a mural for the city of Ventura, but a mural design for the advertisement of business somehow.
Then we need a motion of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any more discussion on that?
And I apologize. I'm texting with our city clerk, so I don't mean to be disrespectful at all. It's just a time sensitive.
That's okay. Do we have any more discussion or do we have a motion?
I could try one. So I would like to move that we not recommend this as regard and then throw it back to community development and recommend it or have them proceed as a sign that we believe it is a sign, not a mural.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do that?
So you can do a version of that because a public art mural is considered a sign.
Okay.
So that's one
community. How can we say this?
What I think you.
This is why we're all confused.
Why it makes us a little frustrated. It's like, why are we here again? I'm confused.
Yes.
You know?
What the commission option could be, the Arts and Culture Commission chooses not to recommend the current design because they feel or the commission feels it is more of an advertisement than a traditional public art mural.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Yes. Period.
Yeah.
And so then the intent is when, you know, and the commission, we can share in the report that we provide to the community development department that the commission agrees on, you know, the quality and the artistry within mm-hmm. the design. But again, that the commission felt it was more an advertisement than your traditional public art mural. And then it leaves it to the community development department to be able to determine if the public art mural permit is issued or not. Again, it falls within a sign. Elena, what she does is once the recommendation is made, she'll actually work with you directly to get the letter and the packet ready and then work with you and community development on the next phase of the process. So that would be my suggestion, is that.
So how to just
say that one more time.
Word it as a motion for us.
So the motion would be I move to not recommend the design, the current design, because the commission feels it looks more like an advertisement than a traditional public art mural.
I move to not recommend the mural because we feel it is more of an advertisement than a traditional.
Perfect. We will capture that.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
And we'd like to go back to.
Great.
Okay. Chair Sesma.
Yes.
Vice Chair Kitchell.
Yes.
Commissioner Lakin.
Yes.
Commissioner Morehall. Commissioner Mongyo.
Yes.
Commissioner Rodriguez.
Just a quick question. Can I ask a question before I make my vote? Is that, would a yes be in agreement with that, saying that I'm in favor of that piece?
No.
Or just as an advertisement, right?
It's that you're saying yes, but you do not recommend the design because you feel it's
in just an advertisement. Yes.
Yeah.
And Commissioner Center.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, and any further discussion or comments with the artists? So thank you for coming, and that's probably not the vote that you wanted to get, but we do appreciate the work and appreciate the thoughts, so thank you so much.
Very kind.
And Elena will reach out. That's a smart one. Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you for coming. Oh, did you bring the rendering? Oh, yes. Oh, nice. That is so cool.
Can we put David in the full accident?
No, it's
not over. Thank you. Watch your step.
Thank you.
I got a little bit of practice here for it. Thank you.
Well,
okay, so
yeah, that reminds me of an earlier meeting today.
Yeah,
please.
So I have to say that even though we can make a recommendation and they can still go do everything they want, I think that's a horrible position to put us in, because here we all had to say how we didn't like it, but they can still go do it anyway. So now we're the bad guys. The city is the good guys. And I think that's a really horrible situation that I've been put in. I feel so horrible about that, because that's just our opinion. And it could be a fantastic piece, and people could, it could talk of the town. We don't know. But I just feel like that was a horrible position to put us into.
And there is conflicting, unclear policy.
Right. Again.
Again.
Again. So I'm like heated up. I'm actually very angry right now.
I wanted
I'm really angry because I feel like four strong community members, businesses, and two business owners and artists left here not liking us. And not that I have to be liked, but our opinions should have the value once they leave the room. And really, our recommendations really don't. So I'm right back at the place that we were at 1 o'clock this afternoon, sitting in front of the city manager, feeling like we're just puppets that we just talk and then, okay, we're going to still go do our own thing. Yeah. I mean, one of the quotes was, well, policy processes are there, but we don't necessarily have to go by them.
I can't wait to get to this part of the meeting.
We have turned down art before. This isn't the first time. Maybe you weren't here.
No, I definitely think it was a policy.
Really sexy position.
No. It never feels good to turn down a project. And I had one. It was a utility box about maybe 3 years ago. I just
put the one with the eyes.
I wonder what the one with the heart and the aorta is coming. You know, it was like not like a pretty little Valentine's heart. The beating heart.
Thing. Here's that one.
And it's not that. Because, to me, it was just a jarring thing to have out on a street. It was kind of,
I almost wanted,
but it happens. We do turn down stuff.
I'll get through that.
I think that it is part of the deal we have to do here. I just felt like it was unclear. Our policy was unclear.
Oh,
yeah.
My tenure, we've turned down two
things. Ryan, go ahead. Ryan.
When I saw this, my first question was this question. Is there a policy that when it's something comes, like, don't there have to be more than one artist that isn't part of this? Like, when we do the murals, right? No. You can't just go like...
No, because it's like private. They hire who they want. So they can hire an individual. They can hire a team.
Private versus
it's
like
private.
Doing like it's, you're talking about with the
it's conference. The applicant.
So that's side. But okay, that was my
yeah. We're not providing the money.
Yeah,
it's and I will say today's application and having it come to the Arts and Culture Commission for recommendation, I think it showcases the need for clarity within the municipal code connected to public art murals and signs. The fact that public art murals are under signs, when that was initially created, there probably was rhyme and reason. I will say since I've been here, we've had this discussion because I would say we struggle as well. I mean, we went through multiple iterations of the mural application process to try and help applicants and the commission understand the why with the Muni Code. But until we reach a point where there's capacity for community development to dig in, to have the conversation about updating the municipal code connected to signs, because it is a larger process. We do the best we can. I will provide this feedback to community development, especially connected to the design and what was within the mural and the business where the mural would be housed, just so that they can hopefully provide some additional clarity for why it wouldn't be considered a sign. And we can bring that back to the next meeting. So, because I do think you bring up some very valid points.
Okay, go ahead, Courtney.
So first of all, that is a total sucky feeling. And so as a visual artist myself, sitting here having to tell someone who is a peer of mine as an artist, no, is a really, really, really weird position and a really strange thing to have to do. But
especially because when it's it really is not going to go anywhere. I mean, no. The fact that we're not recommending it, it's not, I mean, right. We could still do it.
So I wanted
so to, like, what's the point?
I was thinking of being like, okay, so what if they re-render it, redesign it, where they take the focus away from the crash, make it look more like an art piece showcasing these beautiful cars. So the cars are gorgeous. The drawing of the cars are really cool. They look, and I'm not a car person. I thought they were super cool. But then it's like, well, that's more work for the artist. Are they going to get compensated? So going through that. So it is a private. So when I did the utility box, I did two utility boxes on the avenue about 3 years ago. I was hired through the West Side Development Corridor. They like hired me to do it, but they still had to go through like a permitting. So the money wasn't coming from the city. It was coming from wherever they were getting their funding from. So it's like the personal lawyers, they might be paying out of pocket or some like where I was paid through a grant. Through a different organization that had to go through the city. And then we still had to go through the whole sign thing. So it is really complicated with the whole, like, knowing the difference.
Okay, yes, thank you.
I'm with Shanna Marie to hear, to be given a design to review as part of our job, as part of our purpose.
Is our job.
And then be told by you that it doesn't matter. Because whether we approve or not approve, they can still go and get it done as they want, is humiliating.
No, that part.
Okay.
That there was...
I'm not angry because because my side hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it is humiliating, and I don't care for it.
Well, we've turned down boxes before, and they weren't done. So I mean.
But
it's different because it goes a different way. Like that was our program, the public art program, but this was a community development program. So it's that box that we didn't like never happened, right?
So I'm going to ask the people that are sitting at that side of the table, you have to look at me before you're going to speak because people are raising their hand, but you're looking at Emily, so you're not seeing all this.
Okay, I want to finish. So.
Okay, but they also wanted to interject before you started.
Okay,
that's the problem.
I apologize, Henry. But I do want to finish with us. So we just have to get past that we feel icky turning down our thing. We've got to get past that because we were appointed to do that.
Right.
And if you look at any of our other review bodies, they turn down things. Well, some people would say no, they don't. But they do make suggestions, and they do occasionally turn down. And there was a project on the East End that they just turned down. I know that for that. So that's one issue. The other issue is this is a bigger process because it was on the side of a building and going through the community development, and that it's just there's more layers to that approval process, and so that's why it's giving you that feeling, but there's just way more eyeballs looking on this, so that I was trying to explain it.
Yes,
okay,
thank you, I appreciate that, and it makes me feel a little bit better. But Karen, go ahead, Karen. Yes,
I am totally pissed turning people down. I don't have that problem. So get that off me. I am 100% sharing the feeling of Commissioner Mongoyo and SESMA. And it is amplified by the fact that we have lots of other news to report later in this meeting that is directly connected to this conflicting policy, poor use of our time, and I do not enjoy having my time wasted. So let's just leave it there. I don't have trouble making unpopular decisions, as I think I am the queen of that in this last funding cycle.
That was not my point at all.
No.
I appreciate that. So you go right ahead, Marie, and then Emily has something to say.
This just is our process. And what would happen then if we... They would just be doing it all on themselves over in community development, and nothing would end up here at all. We'd never get to weigh on, and then we'd be complaining because we didn't get to weigh on art. I mean,
yeah.
We can't really win here. But this is the process they've established for this to work, and in my mind, we did the right thing. We just turned it came here, and we just turned it back to them and said, no, this is an advertisement.
Well, the process is on us.
And Emily, I will say, it's If I didn't make this clear enough, the intent was to be able to help illustrate for the commission and the applicant, your recommendation does matter.
Okay.
And the community development department will take that into consideration when they decide about the larger permit. They have within kind of their purview to say, we still feel it qualifies for a sign permit, and they may move it forward, like I mentioned. They may look at what we provide and the recommendation that the commission provided and say, actually, we, you know, did not see it from that perspective. We, you know, appreciate the additional, you know, input and insight that the commission provided. We would like the applicant to do a redesign, do a modification. So the recommendation that you made, I do think is very valuable and very important. And we will share that additional information with the community development department when it goes through their phase, the second phase of receiving the letter of whether the commissioner recommended it or not. And they make the determination on the actual permit.
One final on this. Is there any point where the chair at least gets to eyeball the wording of the kind of advice you pass on? Because we certainly had a lot of nuanced commentary, some of it very good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just sometimes feel a bit outpaced by staff, the number of staff, how many staff are touching and shaping the discussion that we've struggled through. So I want to make sure it is communicated in detail.
I will say twofold. The commission can share that you would like to make a motion to have, and this would actually be something that could be done during the work plan discussion, but that you would like the advocacy committee and or the chair or vice chair to put together comments to be able to have staff provide to community development to go along with the letter that we provide. It's a standard letter. We also do on something like this, because our meetings, well, they're audio taped, but now they're videotaped. When we bring it forward to the community development department, we would also recommend that they listen to this section of the video so that they can hear firsthand the comments from the commission.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And we have done that with the audio before too. Obviously, it's not posted. So please know, yes, as staff, we have to work through the process, especially when it's in the municipal code, especially when it's an approved policy and procedure. But we do our best to communicate truly what's being said, not an abbreviated version, but hey, here's an additional push for why we want this municipal code updated. Here's the difficult position it puts the commission in, you know, for so many reasons. So okay. Please know that it will be passed along and we will have them look at the video. But if the commission wants to make a motion for a chair to provide written comments to,
I won't accept. I don't want any more work to go into this policy. I mean, I think that the fact that you would give them access to our actual conversation, it was short, so it's an easy thing for them to review. And that way they're hearing exactly what we all had to say. And I think that would be phenomenal. So I really hope that happens. Whether they look at it or not is up to them, but at least it was provided.
Yes.
That sort of handles that situation. Okay. Any other comments? Because we still have a lot and it's 7:20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So does anybody need to go to the bathroom? Because I couldn't wait another second. So if anybody needs to take a quick break, let's do it. Okay. All right. Moving on to number four, public art program annual project plan.
Yes. So most of you in the room may remember we have brought the annual project plan to the commission. Last we brought it was in January of 2024. The public art project plan is connected to the capital improvement plan that the city does. So every department has various capital improvement projects. They are larger projects like the advanced water purification system. Some of it involves major resurfacing of roads. So connected to the public art project plan, currently in our policies and procedures, it is required that the commission review the plan and then approve it on an annual basis. The project plan that we're bringing forward tonight, you've actually already reviewed and you've already approved. But again, it's a requirement that we bring it to you. So you were able to see the full project plan in the agenda packet that we provided. The four projects that previously were approved by the commission were the Ventura River Trail Improvement Project, which is the one that's been completed. It's that beautiful mural that a number of you got to come out and do the ribbon cutting with. Stunning. I love riding my bike past it. We have the West Park Skate Park Expansion Project, which did come to the commission. It's the vibrant murals that will be installed once the skate park has been officially built. We have Surfers Point Phase 2 project. That is a project that will come to the commission for the commission to review and weigh in on. And then the Advanced Water Purification Facility project. That's the project where the commission was involved in helping select the artist team who will work with the larger facility project team to identify a piece of public art to incorporate. So for tonight, what we're asking is that the commission review, ask any questions on the plan, if they have any from the last time it was brought to this group, and then approve the annual 2025-26 project plan again. Again, the project plan currently only includes the three projects that have not been completed from the plan that was previously approved. If any new capital improvement projects arise where there could be public art, we would bring the plan back to the commission to have you vote to incorporate that into a revised version of the plan.
Okay.
Santa Marie?
And in regards to the Advanced Water Purification Facility project, has that budget changed for the allotment of the money? There was just sort of something, conversation was happening, but nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
And what's the status of that?
So the artist contract is almost completed. So they're finishing up the insurance side. They have met with the larger design team, but within the next month or two, they'll actually be doing their initial intro meeting with the design team to talk about what the new concept will be. That concept will come back to the commission. The commission actually reviews and approves the new concept before they actually move into kind of the larger public art design. So it will come back to the commission to be able to weigh in.
Okay, Casey.
I would like to see or ask that for the Surfers Point Phase 2 project that Julie Tu and Mike Sensley will be invited to work along that phase, please. Knowing the historical surroundings of that location, I feel it's very vital that Julie is having a crucial part on that project. I feel I don't believe she was invited on the Phase 1 part, so I would like to see. I reach out to get her involved if she chooses to.
And is the phase two where there will be an art component, where I'm assuming phase one is a structural? Okay.
Well, and phase one had an art component that is no longer there. It wasn't there when I moved to Ventura. But phase two is it's the second extension of the project. We actually, either next month or the following month, the project team from Public Works will come to the meeting and share about the larger project, and then we'll actually talk about the options or the opportunities for public art.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
Can I just have that whole Surfers project, not just emphasize phase two, but all the phases of the Surfers Point to be invited to have some sort of collaboration with Julie?
Yeah, so the phase one project is complete.
Right, I mean, from the future.
Phase two,
the last phase. Oh, okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions or comments about this annual project plan? Okay. And would somebody like to make a motion to approve?
A motion to approve.
Second.
There we go. Right.
Okay. Chair Sesma?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Lakin?
Yes.
Commissioner Morehall?
Yes.
Commissioner Mongia?
Yes.
And Commissioner Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Commissioner Center?
Yes.
Okay, moving on to item number five, the selection of commissioner for grant program peer review panel. We had a previous panel, and we want to revisit that to see who would like to stay on, who would like to leave, who would like to be nominated for that review. Karen, it's three.
I believe we only get to have one person.
Well, oh, one person from us.
Somebody yes. Volunteer.
Oh, Beth.
Okay.
Perfect.
Is this grant review? I'm thinking
Does that go forward?
Yes. Question here. Okay. Question. That's where we were.
Yes. So just as a reminder to the commission, for anyone who was not here last year, which I think Ryan, this is more of a quick heads up for you. The Cultural Funding Grant Program is a program that traditionally, well, since I believe 2010, has awarded $90,000 in funding to eligible arts and cultural organizations. This year, the funding is $103,000 because $13,000 that was awarded last year, one of the organizations, after the awards were made, was no longer eligible because they ended up receiving line item funding. So that $13,000 has rolled over to this year's grant. So there's $103,000. There's $103,000 that will be awarded this year. Currently, the grant program supports the four cultural goals that are not only in the application, but were also in your staff report and are up on the slide. The application opened up February 28th. Please encourage any arts and cultural organizations you know to check out the application and guidelines on the website. Please apply if they are eligible. It closes on March 26th at 5 p.m. March 26th, not the 25th, the 26th. Next slide. So for this evening, as we've done since the arts and culture or the cultural funding grant has been in existence, we are recommending that the commission select one member to be on the peer review panel. The peer review panel will review all of the eligible applications. So the application packet, the request, the grant request, along with the budget and the supplemental materials. Once that initial review is completed, they will go ahead and provide an initial score for all the applications. This is done independently. So our grant panelists receive this information. You can access it digitally or you can receive a hard copy. Once you finish scoring, then there is an in-person meeting or session where all the panelists come together. The rankings are listed, so the scores, they've been averaged. And then the panel has a discussion about the final scoring and then the allocation of funding. Once that meeting is completed and the panel has made a recommendation connected to the funding recommendation will come back to the commission and the commission will do the final review and approval on funding. So tonight is to nominate one commissioner to be on that panel.
Okay, so your hands both went up exactly at the same time. So defer.
I had a question, so maybe it's not the time for the question, so I can rate on that.
No, it's time.
No.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, is this where we bring up the public comment that we got an email today? Do we bring that comment up at any time?
No, so the public comment that was shared was connected to the draft arts and culture element. Okay. So that public comment gets packaged in the supplemental packet. I shared it with the commission, so the commission was aware. Mm-hmm. If you heard, the consultant actually referenced it too. Yes. I shared that public comment with the consultant too. So he'll take that comment into consideration when he's proposing revisions to the draft element that you all weighed in on today.
Okay. And I had a question and comment. I was writing, so I'm sorry. I missed when the application period is closing.
If you'll go back, March 26th.
March.
5 p.m.
Because I want to.
And when is your panel meeting?
The panel meeting, if you go to the next slide, is April 7th from 9 to
1. Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. And my comment was just to encourage service. Marie and I were on a subcommittee to help reevaluate the content.
Pardon? And Corey.
Oh, sorry. And Corey. When we got down into the trench. I think you missed that one.
So. I put it on the wrong day.
Anyway, in my opinion, having served as a panelist and having gone through the hard work of reconsidering and imagining how the rubric and the application works, I think it has been improved and it should be somewhat less fraught in doing the evaluation and the scoring. So don't be afraid to.
We've also narrowed down the eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And
you want to say something more about how and what?
If you apply for this grant, in your mission statement,
must be something about the arts. You either provide arts programming or 100%. Something arts related.
Yeah, I remember this part.
Yeah, because we have so little money.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, this was intended to be an arts grant for artists and arts organizations. And once you start opening up to every single organization that might have a very small arts component, it becomes a lot more difficult to narrow it down. And then we, you know, have the feelings like we had last year.
Yeah, it gets kind of flat.
And because they aren't really told that that's our criteria, it was sort of implied in our heads, I think, when we're evaluating these grants, that it's they need to be told. This is what you must be doing as the primary goal of your organization versus just a little ad hoc program.
And I saw the new grant guidelines are posted. Mm-hmm. So I reread them online and was very happy. So
it worked.
And I will say the subcommittee that supported the revision, tremendous help in getting the application and the guidelines to where it's at. We also had the stakeholder input session as well. So we had arts organizations that had applied for the grants over the last year who also had the opportunity to weigh in. So I do feel like panelists will have, it will be much more clear with the rubric, with the guidelines when it comes to the scoring and the point system. So a 1 through 5 and where a 5 comes in versus a 3 versus a 2.
Did I miss the input on that community meeting? And our last meeting, did you talk about that? I missed it. Oh, okay.
We yes, and we can share more about it. But the input was very consistent with what as a subcommittee the 3 of you brought up.
Good.
Okay.
Okay, turn it back for
Here's something that I saw as a problem, and I think that when we do these grants, it has to be really specifically spelled out everything.
Yes.
And so we aren't just like in our head being subjective about something that isn't spelled out to the public. That's just not fair.
Yes.
So that's what I was trying to do, and I think Karen and Corey shared my goals there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so we're looking for a volunteer to serve on this peer committee.
I have a question. The commitment will end on April 7th at 1 p.m.?
Correct.
Okay, it's only for Europe until the 9th. So I'm proposing a volunteer, but I'm not. I just feel like I have been given so little to the commission over the last 6 months because of sickness and this and that. Anybody else would be interested? Corey?
Corey is interested as well.
I was interested as of being a part of the review panel.
Go for it, Corey.
Are you sure?
I'll deal with my guilt some other way.
We'll find something for you.
Corey, we'll find something.
We can find something for you. I would like to self-nominate, please.
Okay. Anybody else? And do we need a vote on that? Yes. Okay. A motion to approve Corey as a peer review panelist.
I will second that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Can you put the dates in your phone right now?
Yes, I'm doing it right now. Look, I made my calendar up. Okay, ready, 9 a.m.
At 9 a.m.
And I will say, to Corey's credit, she did set up a separate one-on-one meeting with me to provide.
Yeah, I got together with Emily.
Good job. Thank you so much for that.
And we just need to take a vote.
Yes.
Okay. Chair Sesma?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Lakin?
Yes.
Commissioner Morehall?
Yeah.
Commissioner Mongio?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
Absolutely.
And Commissioner Center?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to our almost last-ish item on the agenda. Arts and Culture Commission 2025 work plan. Take it away, staff.
This is a commission-driven item, so I hand it back to you.
Oh my goodness. Okay, the pressure is on. Okay, so it's a recommendation that this is that the Arts and Culture Commission continue developing and working on our 2025 work plan. We receive updates from the Advocacy Committee on the city arts and culture issues identified for support. So I believe that you have a presentation in regards to the advocacy, and we can speak to the other.
Yes.
Thank you.
The Advocacy Subcommittee has all stated their availability to present and appear at next Tuesday's second budget workshop. Does that still hold true?
What time is that one again?
It starts at 5.
Yes.
And it can go.
That's the one with the CARE Act, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just the last agenda item.
Yeah. Okay.
It's last again.
It's the last one.
Okay. So it's
bring your sleeping bags.
Yeah, bring up.
It's
bring,
fine. I plan to pause.
I'll get Liz's office and get our sleeping.
It's come to my attention from numerous sources, including public staff and city council, that our persistent and repeated presence at these meetings is having an impact.
Good.
Okay. So from my fellow commissioners, we're getting closer on trying to insert our presence and influence about the new budget priorities and amounts. So please make sure you send, if you have a particular bone you want to pick, write it down. We're also looking for some factoids and numbers. If anybody has something exciting that will help us present arts funding as an important part of the budget. We want to make it as easy as possible for the council to say yes to the requests that we're specifically presenting, which is to increase our grants funding amount to $500,000. That number's already been circulating, and we approved it unanimously at our last commission meeting here. So that's happening Tuesday. And just to throw out the line into the far future, the third budget meeting, which is in May, I will be out of the country and would appreciate someone to join Casey and Corey.
In May, okay.
Okay. So I will not be present for that meeting.
But as far as the first meeting goes, which is next Tuesday.
The second meeting. That's our second meeting. Our
second meeting. The upcoming meeting. I know that Karen's going to be available. You've offered to speak. Casey, you're going to speak. If anybody else is interested in speaking, we can help you with talking points if you need. Otherwise, thank you. If you aren't, to please still take the time to write in your feedback, ideas, concepts, considerations
to the council.
To the council.
As an attachment.
Yeah. As an attachment, yes. Yeah. So that would need to be done by, I think it's 2 p.m. on that Tuesday. Yeah. Yes.
I would add that there's another group out there doing the same thing too. So
yeah.
Beverly and Kirby Ward. Yeah. So they're also out there. So for you guys that don't go to the meetings and didn't know, there's another group doing exactly this.
Yeah, we're in close contact with them.
Good.
And
I knew you knew about it, but I didn't.
Yeah, well, only else you only.
Yeah, and they came to one of our. They came to our last.
They were here last time.
Yeah. Oh, they were.
Yeah, they were here.
And Beverly and Kirby are sharing their mailings with me. So when they refer to discussions we've had or presentations we've made, they're circulating our actions to their group of their conversion with other groups. So that is moving forward.
That's great. And my nonprofit signed on to their effort too. So just so you know.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Corey.
So my question is, just for clarity for these meetings. So Tuesday, this agenda item will be the one that you said is towards the end. And then the CARE one is more towards the front. So what if you want to comment? Because I also want to comment on the CARE. So how do I do that? Am I able to give comment on two different agenda items? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. Two cards.
You just fill out two separate cards. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I'd like to speak on both of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anybody who wants to send the email instead of coming in person, you need to have your email sent by 10 a.m. on Tuesday for the council members to read it.
Thank you.
Okay. Instead of going, okay, yeah, person got it.
Go ahead.
When you were speaking of the budget numbers that's supporting the budget. We talked about specific line items that need that. So we go, here's $500,000 we're requesting, correct? Here's why, and put an itemized kind of budget together?
You want to answer that?
Yeah, well, not an itemized budget. Our goal for this presentation or for this budget workshop is to raise the value of why we want the $500,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's the guidance that we actually received directly today from Councilman Member McReynolds. So, and that's what we have always known. So there was some good, that's why I was being so adamant on getting this, but there's some good numbers in here if somebody wants to pull the numbers from this as to the revenue and dollars that are generated by the arts community and the jobs. And I mean, there was yummy, yummy stuff in that presentation.
Our understanding today and our direction today was we don't have to come up with the offsets and make all those arguments, but we need to continue to advocate,
we need to push for it,
and sell and be present about value that we bring,
right?
And if anybody has really good numbers to monetize that, I mean, to show that, even though I'm not a big fan of transactional value in the arts, I think it helps, yeah. And it helps them say yes.
Yes.
So we're looking for
it's more defending the budget without just saying, here's five. We want $500,000.
Yes,
for going from 200 current, or yeah, and this is 200 in the past, 103 current to 500,000.
So I can
simply just ask.
Yeah. I'm referencing, what was that peak year in 2007, 2008?
On his thing?
No,
on
the city budget.
Following
a couple of meetings.
And I'm referencing inflation and that the arts community has not gotten smaller. So it's time that we kind of reassert our leadership and the investment levels. So that's what we're looking for.
Do you feel, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I write a lot of grants, and I always have to justify why what I do is important. And I think, and I can get the exact language, but honestly, all you have to say is studies have shown that cultural tourists stay in a community longer and spend more money than regular tourists do. And I think that always seems to get them.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. That's a really good selling point for me.
Points that anybody has that you feel are particularly successful, please get them to us by the weekend, because I'll be putting together probably another script we can divide up and read in sections, which has been effective.
And we and
also receive that information.
Right. And the way that you put together that script, that when the three of us were speaking, you put everybody's on there. And so I could see what others were saying. And therefore, you could maybe not speak. Maybe you had a different point that you wanted to bring up because you already see what other people are doing. So I think that was really helpful. Is that too much to ask to have you do that again?
No, I think it's really important. And now is the time.
And I will say, just as a clarification for anyone who's curious, you're able to do the emails because you're providing information connected to an agendized item that the commission already voted on and approved. So that's where the emails can go back and forth. You'll want to be very cautious when you send those emails to not bring up anything outside of what's been discussed by the commission and approved that will need to be voted on. I don't see that occurring in what you're doing, but just for instance, if you wanted to say, I instead would like to recommend that we request $1 million, you would not want to put that in writing because that's something that the commission will need to vote on.
Right. We already gave that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I do that only for clarification. Again, I know you're already doing fabulous with that.
So in terms of collecting information that we can use to enhance our presentation, you can either forward it to us, send it in an email, or feel free to come and speak as well.
Mm-hmm. I just want to, full disclosure, I've been a little quieter about this thing than you might have expected me to be. It's because I'm also asking for the city council for a budget item for the Dudley House right now. And
a budget item or line item?
It's I need to have that in the budget. Yeah. Just for this year.
A line.
Line, whatever. But let me finish. We have a handicap lift that is completely non-operational, and And it is a facility owned by the city, and it is sort of under our purview. And so that is something that I've been asking for money for, because our board is very small and they're getting very old. I'm the youngest one and I'm 65. So it just, our fundraising prowess is not what it used to be. So I am asking for that money. So I just didn't want to appear greedy out there. So I'm being a little lowkey about this ask, because there's so many of you right out there doing this. And for me, it's just me, you know. So that's why I've been.
No, that helps to know what it
is. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Ryan.
Are we going there as commissioners or people that want to support the community?
So there can be three commissioners who officially represent the commission, and then the rest would be coming as community members advocating.
Why is, if we're commenting on agendized items that we've already had discussions and agreement on, why is it limited to three?
That's a good point.
That's been my understanding. I can ask the city clerk to weigh in on it, to say, because you would be speaking on an item that has been agendized and approved, mm-hmm. is there an opportunity for the commission to come together as all seven and do public comment, as long as discussions won't be occurring outside of
and we're
talking about it. I can ask him.
We're not going to, we're doing our best to not duplicate.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can follow up and ask. I would say at this time, based on the information I have, it would be three representatives who are representing the commission, and the rest would be attending as advocates. But I will confirm with the city clerk and get back to you probably tomorrow.
That'd be great.
If it's based on agendized, if all seven of you, if interested, were able to speak.
And we're sticking to our script. We're not freewheeling. Yeah. You know, we're talking about things that have been agreed upon here.
Yeah. No, I will ask.
Thank you.
It's a good question.
Yes, Ryan.
If I have the opportunity, once we talk about the script or whatever, to put together some type of presentation, can it be shown?
So if an individual is interested in doing a presentation, you do provide it to the city clerk ahead of time.
PowerPoint?
Yes. Typically, it's a PowerPoint. If you look on the city council agenda, it gives you the directions on submitting that. It goes through the city clerk's office so that they have it accessible to be able to display it during your 3 minutes.
Yeah, and it's 3 minutes, although we're always prepared if we have to cut it off at two, right? Mm-hmm.
Just in case there's more.
But you're going to have time seated, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe it's up to 6 minutes, but I would have to double check.
I'll check with Nirvana.
Yeah. He doesn't like to give up his time, but. Okay.
Okay, so that.
So that does it, right?
Well, that's it for the conversation about the advocacy subcommittee. And then the only other item that we want to talk about, is there anything else? Do we need to close this before we discuss about our meeting today?
I don't think there's any action required. It was just a report.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then part of your work plan would be if you were going to share about your meeting.
Yes.
With council.
Oh, that's not commission communications. That'd be work.
No, that, well, it could be either, but because advocacy and connecting with the commission or connecting with council about to provide insight into, you would do it under the work plan.
Okay.
Take
so
away.
We with and I'm going to add the fact that we with heavy persistence and it's several emails directly to the mayor, the deputy mayor, and all council members, city manager, and staff.
We've worked on it for a month.
For months. We finally got the meeting that we had asked for. We got sort of a meeting before, but today we had an actual meeting. And who was present was the city manager, the mayor, and one council member. And one council member came in via Teams. So we were able to bring up the point of the lack of clarity in the process of funds that are available, and the fact that someone can by step the actual process that we think exists and find an extra $100,000. And it was very clear that one person was very pro for that
decision, and one was had voted actually against it. And so that was good to hear because I wasn't clear on that myself. So to hear that, and then I believe that we really drove it home, I should say that Karen really drove it home, that our the reason that we're there is that we, once again, here we are doing this work, volunteering, and we're not getting the opportunity to weigh in on decisions like this that are made ahead of time. And so, yeah, it's just we're just bypassed. And so when do we step in? How do we step in? And we had three very clear questions. And I think that they were heard. And it will be going to the next session, which is the economic development. And go ahead, and you want to reiterate exactly what you said.
Yes, it's nothing new. It's the message we've been trying to deliver, starting back with that letter we sent after the Rubicon funding was obtained through contingency funds. So it's the same message. I believe it's our message is getting shorter and more succinct. And I think it's delivered because
thank you.
We did a how, a what, how, and a how much. What do we believe in? We believe in the arts for Ventura. Everyone's on board with that. Mm-hmm. I think even the council's all on board with that. The second question was, how are we going to spread that money? And I clearly said we are not in agreement, at least with how it's being practiced. We're not in agreement with that. We have these processes to review grant applicants. And then there's also direct reach out to the city council, where if you know how to maneuver the loopholes, you get your money. And then the third area of discussion was how much, and that's the budget we're going to ask for. So to reiterate the disagreement about how, it didn't seem intentional or hostile, but there is a division in understanding and a division in practice on the council itself. Some people appreciate and understand the advisory process and want that process to go through and field decisions. And, so that council person was very articulate and also gave us very good advice about bringing the number Tuesday. Don't leave it up to them to try and figure out. They're building a structure, they're building a puzzle, they're building this budget, and we don't have to say and take the money from. We just have to go, this is really what we need. The other division on the council is that it's okay to like say people or not.
I would recommend
not.
Yeah.
There's another point of view on the council that welcomes and accepts direct pleas for funds, no matter how inconvenient or how after the budget fact.
Wait, say that again.
Pleads.
A plea.
Please.
So they're like.
So rather than trying to fill out an application to compete for the scarce $103,000,
they're more in favor of being asked directly.
They thought that was fine. I won't say they favor that. And so at the end of the meeting, I summarize, I hear confirmation there are two avenues for funding, the grant process and direct appeal. And they didn't like to agree to that, but they admitted that is indeed a fact and there is precedent now. So I feel like we made headway, and I feel pretty confident that what happened last year with the single arts agency contingency funding will not happen again. No. I do feel
that's good
that we're making good progress. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't necessarily commitment or shared knowledge on the council about why they're supposed to use their advisory boards, if they're going to or not, and multiple times in every one of these meetings and presentations I reiterated interpretation I received from staff that, yes, we understand that this is within council's authority. Yes, we understand this is technically something you can do, but we're strongly advising you don't do it that way. And here's why. And we talked at length about the fallout and the continuing unhappiness that we're hearing from the cultural community about how they're trying to follow the process. And yet, so there was a lot of talk about what is transparency really? And if you make an authoritative action from the dais, is that transparent or not? I mean, there was it was an hour long nitty gritty today. And I was very thankful we had that.
And we're going to.
Oh, go ahead.
Anyway, we're still going to go. We're still reaching out to two of the council members that weren't present that wanted to meet with us, but just couldn't today. So we're still hoping that we're going to have one more meeting literally before Tuesday.
Cool. But was there any discussion, and we'll put this very delicately, about perceived conflicts of interest to that decision?
Yes, I brought that up.
Chair Sesma brought the big
and I gun. When I did it, and I did it because there was conflict by a particular person who we felt it was conflict. And what's the difference of recusing yourself and still voting and not? And one person stated that it was a political move.
Absolutely.
And
same.
That the action from this organization to apply for the money and get the money was a political move. And
so the whole thing was orchestrated.
Yeah. So we had to explain to somebody else what that meant, because somebody heard that as political, meaning right or left, Democrat, Republican, and that's not what that is. So we had to explain what our understanding of that was, and that it was more of that politically it was the right thing to do. And why does that take precedence over process? When why is it not the right thing to do when to fund somebody like a Namba? And I keep bringing up Namba because it's just this tiny little place.
And the closest counter.
Yeah, it's true. Performing arts. Yeah. So why I think it would be more politically correct to fund a Namba than it would be to fund a large, well-funded nonprofit.
And I understood that person's use of the word political decision to mean. See, I interpret it even differently than you.
Oh, yeah.
I took it to mean how one's authority is applied, that the authority is technically there. And so that's how it happened, rather than what was best for the community. I also quoted straight from the commissioner's handbook about how it is our duty as a guiding question to ask, does this decision benefit the entire cultural community or a particular group? I mean, we brought everything we had.
Yes. Go ahead and ask, yes.
Yeah, ask it first.
And the population that frequents Namba is very politically different than the population that frequents and supports the other fellows. That's what makes it politically wise. The people that attend the other venue, that subscribe to the other venue, have a lot more money and influence and power in the city of Ventura, the county of Ventura, than the ones, the people I know, that would frequently subscribe, partly subscribe, but at least frequent Namba. The people that frequent Namba, the clients of Namba, the customers of Namba, do not have money, or most of us don't have money, political influence, or social power.
Right.
The other ones do.
They do.
So that commissioner, politically wise, because I'm being recorded, I will modulate my speech.
He didn't say politically wise. The comment was,
no, that was my interpretation.
A political decision.
A political
decision. And I took it as
right.
An arrogant use of authority. So I took it as
for self-serving.
Yeah. And then he also stated, it's done. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. But
so going forward, we still are in a place
that no matter what our needs or our opinions or our advocacy or our recommendations are we being heard? What is our value? So that's the clarity that we were really trying to get. And I'm not feeling like we got there, but we were at least really, really heard this time. Like, I think like we've hammered it in, but being present on Tuesday is really a bonus.
They know who we are now.
Yeah.
And
you guys are doing great.
I think it's really important. I mean, I can't think of a worse way to spend a Tuesday than 6 hours at City Hall
after work.
But
it might be longer this Tuesday.
You know, whenever you can manage, even if the arts are not on the agenda, I have seen the value of going at the beginning during public comment and go, hey, I'm opening a new dance program on Friday. Y'all come. I mean, just don't disappear. They need to see us.
100%.
So,
okay.
We're doing our best.
You're
thank you. Okay, go ahead, Casey.
No, I was just
I've learned the difference.
Right. I was like looking over hearing. I'm not saying that you guys aren't, but just as I heard the sentence when you guys were in the meeting today, that we're all on board for arts in Ventura, I just ask you to make sure you don't forget and culture.
Yes.
I say it a lot, and sometimes I get tanked up.
I'm sure, but I was like,
yes, thank you.
That's were you able point. To listen to the meeting?
Thank you.
Did you listen?
Yeah.
Or just now?
No, just now. You were. I was like, I'm pretty sure, but I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a great point. Thank you. Yeah, we kind of lump it all together and just say arts, but it is arts and culture. Yeah. So thank you. Yes. Any other comments? Questions?
I had my hand raised earlier. Yes,
thank you.
Articulate everything I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think they just saw some of the wealthy folks that donate to the Rubicon there.
Hey, don't say it.
Yeah.
Question about, I get this confused sometimes. So if we were going to have people in the arts and culture community to come and speak their voice and represent themselves, mm-hmm. is that public comment or is it before the public agendized? Because can't the public speak on each?
Yeah.
So
meeting, right?
I get that confused sometimes.
Yes, it's a like fair confusion.
There's public fair. Comment. And,
okay. There, she knows this one.
To you. If they're going to give a comment in favor of or support of the amount that we're asking, they have to speak on the agenda item. They have to raise.
So not
but if they're coming to say, hey, we have this event coming, which is not related to that agenda, they can do public comment.
Or just like.
Is there a public comment section at this meeting?
Yes. Like there was the one on the.
Right. No, but right? You said you might be coming.
Yes.
So just.
There's always two public comment sessions. One at the beginning.
Very, very beginning.
That's about what is not mm-hmm. anything that's and not on the agenda. And then the agendized item.
Okay. I remember that.
Which one are we talking at? Oh. Oh, both. Okay, good.
And you can't see time on public comment.
You what?
You can't see time.
On public.
So you don't come onto public comment thinking you're going to have someone see you time. You can't
right.
see
that's
time good. On public comment.
Only the agenda. Is that what we, the passing off thing?
That's, yeah, when you get more time.
Means? Okay. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any informational, we're finished with Arts and Culture Commission work plan, correct? Okay. Ooh. Any informational items anybody want to share?
No.
Okay.
I can give it very quick, but please. Speed dating.
I'm into quickies. Go ahead.
Update.
She gave me an update. Jeez, Casey, where'd your mind go? Go ahead.
September 27th and 28th is the next art walk. It will be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day, although the music will go later, more than likely, and also the film festival will go later. And so we're going to do it the same way we did it last year, only this year, unfortunately, the museum has booked a wedding reception in there. So we won't be able to use the museum. And I
before anybody complains, it's a financial decision for them. They get twice as much for a wedding one night as we pay for the whole weekend. So I understand they need to fundraise, and I agree. So we booked the Knights of Columbus Hall for the film festival, and I have gone through the preliminary discussion with city staff, Allison mostly, and you guys are on board with this, I think. We will hopefully utilize the Albinger for our musical and dance programs, and then confine Mission Park just to our artists and maybe some quieter dancers, and then kind of stat it away at a farmer's market on Saturday morning. That's really been my big problem, is how to deal with the farmer's market in the middle of this whole thing.
We need a vegetable installation. They need to make something.
They're very protective of their turf, that's all I will say. And then I think on Sunday, the 805 Social Club Artisan Group that exhibits downtown every month. Are you all familiar with them?
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably have them out in the farmer's market footprint just on Sunday. So everything's going very well, and I'm back in doing this again. So keeping me busy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great. Any other informational items? I mean, department or commission communications. I know you have events, so.
So I mentioned this earlier. So Ventura County Trans Pride is going to be March 24th through the 30th. It is about a week long's worth of events throughout the county. There are several going on here in Ventura. The big one is the closing party. The actual, so Trans Day of Visibility is actually on the 31st, which is a Monday. So on the 30th, there will be a big celebration at Patty's. And I am curating an art show that will be on the, opening on the 29th at the Ventura Therapy Collective, which is like right next to the Dudley House. It's like 5550 Telegraph.
It's in the barn.
It's in the barn. Yeah, it's in the barn. So that's where we'll be having an art show that will showcase artists, trans and non-binary artists from Ventura. And there's a couple of LA artists that have asked to participate as well. There's like karaoke events, and there will be a concert at the Mystery Shop in Oxnard. So if anyone is interested in supporting or sharing with anyone in our community, they can go to VenturaTransPride.org or Instagram. There's concert tickets available, and there's also opportunities for sponsorship if anyone would like to help us with this. It's there's 6 volunteers involved in putting together the whole event. This is an annual. We pulled up last year. So there's 9 of us this year.
Wow.
But there's not a lot. So it's just a group of us that want to do this. So
yeah, their Instagram is great. You can get a lot of information about all the various events.
Yeah, we have a graphic designer on our team.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah. Well. Oh, she's good.
Okay. Any other commission communications?
Yes. I'm throwing a Holroyd community potluck next Saturday at Diversity Collective, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's not a thing you have to be at all hours. You can jump in, jump out whenever you guys want.
Okay.
Next Saturday.
Yes. Diversity Collective. And that's, so that's
24th.
24th. Thank you.
Oh, wait, sorry.
It's 22nd.
I'm in the wrong month.
22nd.
I get it when that happens.
Okay. Anything else? No. Okay. Yes. One more thing.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Last one. This coming Tuesday, once again, we're going to be discussing the care policy, which is instrumental in protecting our city citizens and those who come to our city. I suggest you guys look that agenda up while we're there and speak or send emails on that too.
Well, I'm just going to give you one save the date. It's far away, but I'm going to have you save the date. May 21st. It's a Wednesday evening. It's Planned Parenthood Action Fund, Boogie for Your Bodies. We did the Pink Barbie Party last year. Mm-hmm. And it's really the Action Fund is the fundraising component for the political work and the lobby work that Planned Parenthood does. So it's not tax deductible, your contribution, but the money is used for political work and lobby work.
What's your theme this year?
Disco cowgirl or disco cowboy, disco cow. I don't know. We came up with a term.
Disco western.
Disco western. Thank you.
All right,
thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so I do. Then I will have an announcement.
Okay.
The Santa Barbara Filmmakers Association this has one huge show a year. And this year, the show will be Invita.
Oh, great.
Oh, cool.
Invita has become, is becoming, has become a force to contend with. And the show opens, I'll tell you next time. I'm hurting.
That's it.
Thank you. We can call this meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
I have a very hungry kid at home.
Oh,
I'm on my freaking takeout.
I didn't know my lunch, so I ate the rest of it before I left.
Good lifting, everybody.
Yeah. Killer. Good job.
I'm ordering.
Ooh.
But I would love to help volunteer.
Oh,
heck
yeah. Put your phone down.
Thank you.
They done.
Me too.
Me too.